Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
You should touch me where my penis cries.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Jacob's weeping penis.
It spits yogurt.
Good night, everybody.
We're going to have to redo the opening, aren't
no,
we?
No.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's staying.
Nice. That's, so this is the one where we review nothing but kids games, right?
That's how little I care this episode. Like, we don't have any guests on this episode. It's just you two assholes. So what do I have to care about?
Offending our viewers?
Offending viewers. We don't have any.
There's nobody in the abyss.
People in chat.
Now we have a viewer, as Carnage just rated us with one viewer.
Carnage rated us with himself. I know. Nice.
There's also Chucky.
Yeah, we got Chucky. We got Bree. We got Latino Heat. We got, I can't read that one.
I was just reading off
the names of people. Games. M317. Vlad Slavin is here. Lobster Pinch. Who else? Who did I miss?
I don't know.
Stream is Lobster Elements. Pinch actually their name?
Yes. Lobster Pinch.
I like it.
512. Hanging out with the SML crew.
Hanging out with the Wang out.
So, Aki, how was your week?
it was better after Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to say, last we left you, you were kind of dying, maybe? But you're alive now. So, that's good.
Yeah, I also am dog-sitting two dogs. And it's storming all week. And like most dogs, they don't like storms. So, yeah, great.
Have they been tinkling inside?
One of them is incontinent as fuck. So, he pees and poops everywhere. Yeah, I've had to, every time he's been here, I've
Jacob,
had to.
Jacob, your spirit animal. Carpets.
Yeah, basically. It's very regular in the, anytime I let them out of their cage, immediately all over the floor.
Sounds like Joe when he gets up in the morning.
Yeah, pretty much. I stand out of bed and it's just gravity kicks in and it just falls.
Yeah, and the other one just destroys stuff constantly. They've managed to destroy a couple of my curtains and the screen to one of my windows. Nice. So, thankfully they haven't destroyed anything this time, which is nice.
Are you going to charge the owners for the damages?
I charged them for the screen. I didn't care about the curtains. I have so many curtains in this fucking house. Mm. And they were really sheer and really fucking old, so I care even less.
You're going to pretend you live in a Victorian mansion, and you just have thousands of curtains everywhere.
I probably have another, 10 pair of curtains somewhere in this house, not more.
That's going to be a giveaway. Aki's curtains. Enter at the smlpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I moved into my house, my grandma decided that was her way of getting rid of all of the unnecessary curtains she had. So she gave me a box that had 20-ish of them in there. So
Aki's grandma's curtains, again, the smlpodcast@gmail.com. Enter and tell us why you want the curtain.
Special bonus prize.
I really don't.
Special bonus prize. You can have Jacob's beef curtains. Aw, yeah.
Gross.
I'm just going to start using the wrestling soundboard when you talk.
Like what?
I'll fucking kill you!
That's fair.
Please, yeah.
Something needs to be done about this piece of shit.
I agree.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so anyway,
do you have Iron Sheik saying fucking bullshit on there?
No, I don't.
You need listen to. Here, fuck snort.
Got that one.
Stop
though.
Talking.
I got that's this one good. Too.
You a big motherfucker.
Fair.
But yeah, the best is.
I'll fucking kill you.
I love that yeah. one. I really love that one. So, Jacob, how was your week?
I mean, like, it's been okay, I guess. Not that much has happened.
I mean, like, to be fair, you said not much happened, so...
Well, I mean, like, I was on Tuesday's show, so I already talked about, like, what happened on the weekend, so...
Yeah, which, again, was...
No, it wasn't. My I had a nice weekend.
But for us...
Oh, I don't care about you.
Story for us. You telling us what you did.
You know what? If there's any parents out there who listen, they could relate to it, so...
I'm almost a parent with all the cats I have. We had to run Simon to the vet again today. His abscess has not been going down as it should be. The vet said it's healing, but not at the level that it should. They gave him different antibiotics. It got drained again. The poor guy's so sore.
That oh, sucks. My God. Ew.
Poor Simon with a P.
I hate that.
Anyway.
What, Simon with a P?
Yes.
Talk more when you talk. Like, there's so much awkward silence tonight.
Well, I mean, you're the host. I mean,
yeah, like, you two we're are like, having a discussion, and like, she said something. 40 seconds pass, and you're like, what? Then 30 seconds pass, and she's like, the thing. And that's it. It's not like the well, thing you, that did I mean, this, you know, and then, well, and then you realize, here's a story like, about the magic,
with the magic of editing, you could fix that. If, you know, you had some gumption to
it will be actually fixed. Take care of all the silence will be gone, but this is staying in because you're filthy people.
Because we're filthy people. Yes, how are we filthy?
Horrible, disgusting, toxic.
I can agree with all of this, yes.
Yet somehow adorable.
I don't agree with that at all.
Aw, Aki, we're sure you're adorable in your own
fucked up way.
Oh, no, I'm fantastic. He said us, not... Me specifically, it was an us thing, and no.
Yeah, me? We drag it sure. down a lot. We really do.
Yeah, very much so.
I'm fucking adorable, y'all know it.
Aki mentioned the word fantastic. You know what's fantastic? The PlayStation Plus lineup for July.
Oh, what's in it?
Really good lineup. They have Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War for PS4 and PS5. Alan Wake Remastered.
Fuck yeah.
For PS4 and PS5. And Endling Extinction is Forever for PS4 and PS5.
Not so bad. Two of those titles are things that they would bitch about if, you know, because they're Microsoft titles or soon to be Microsoft titles.
Alan Wake's not.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. Alan Wake used to be. That's yeah. right. Okay. Yeah, damn it. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm glad those assholes get to play it. It's a good game.
Not as good as the Games with Gold lineup for July.
What?
Color me shocked.
You know, the funny thing is that I read an article about it on True Achievements this afternoon. I don't even remember what the titles are, so you're going to exactly. have to tell me again.
Darkwood?
Okay, I don't have it, so cool.
And When the Past Was Around.
Well, that sounds boring as shit. No offense to the devs or anything.
It's like a $15 game and a $7 game.
Mm. Remember how they used to tell us, like, you're getting like $120 worth of games this month? They don't ever say that anymore.
I know. It's not as impressive yeah, when weird. It's like, you're getting $21 worth of games this month. Yay?
Yay! I could have just bought these out of my pocket.
Better than that is the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass lineup for Genesis games. They got four games added this past week with The Revenge of Shinobi.
Cool.
Ghouls and Ghosts.
Okay.
Landstalker.
I'm not familiar with it, but okay.
And Crusader of Senti.
Don't know that
Crusader
one
either. Crusader of Senti?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with that either.
It's worth checking out. If you have a Switch, fire up your Genesis, give it a go. It was overshadowed by Landstalker when it came out, and Sega didn't really put too much muscle behind it. Pretty sure it's a Zelda-like that one style either. Game.
It's a what?
A Zelda-style game. Action adventure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the news for games that were added. The big news, obviously, this past week has been the discussions with Microsoft and Activision and court and the FTC, all that. The big thing that came out is that a whole list of companies that Microsoft was eyeing up for acquisition leaked out. More than 100 companies were on that list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but wasn't that list made years and years ago, though?
Yeah.
Probably, but I'm sure many of them are still either, you know, being considered or, who knows, maybe in process. We don't know what the status of any of this stuff is.
Yeah.
Thimber's saying the list was from around 2020.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those Sony's immediately going to now go and try and buy. Just
yeah, but that's under the assumption Microsoft. That Sony has the money to do that.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a whole bunch of smaller companies?
There were a bunch of them. Some of the notable companies are Thunderful, Supergiant Games, IO Interactive, Niantic, Playtrix, Scopely, and Zynga for mobile stuff, Bungie, which Sony already bought, CD Projekt Red, Crytek, 4A Games, From Software, Gearbox, Hello Games, Larian, People Can Fly, Remedy, Starbreeze, and Techland were all considered.
Wait, did you mention Square Enix?
I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Because I didn't mention publishers yet.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. These are developers that they showed interest in.
I felt bad about like what they were saying about Thunderful. They're like, oh, they produce good titles, but none of them are like bestsellers. I was like, ouch.
I don't know. I love Thunderful. I think they do good stuff.
Oh, no, I do, too. Like, no, I have no problem with them. It felt like kind of like a backhanded compliment.
Well, they're not really setting the world on fire with their releases. They're doing well, but like they haven't had their breakout hit yet, have they?
I don't know. I'd have to go through their list. But the fact that I have to say that probably means
you could say the Steam World series, possibly. Even those are still kind of like smaller indie focused titles.
Very.
For publishers, the big talk was the publishers. They were considering looking at 505 Games, Focus Interactive, Paradox Interactive, Sega, and yes, Square Enix, they considered. I mean,
all of those would be great choices to buy if they were willing to sell and you can afford them.
Oh, well,
one of those would be
Microsoft
great.
Can't afford them. There's nothing stopping that from happening.
The FTC.
I said financially.
True. Like
there's no obstacles in Microsoft's way financially. They could throw whatever they wanted at anyone. It's just if the people wanted to accept it and if, like Activision, it's approved. A lot of people think something like Sega or Square can't happen because they're Japanese companies. But I don't know how that stuff works.
I'm not sure about that either. But even then, one thing that surprises me on that list is that Capcom was, like, as far as I'm aware, was not brought up. And I know like a few years back, people had mentioned like the idea of like, oh, what if Microsoft or Sony bought up Capcom? And it was just nowhere to be found here.
I don't know. I think Square Enix can be looked at as the one that got away because now there are so many games that we are missing out on. They went from like releasing half of their games on Xbox to releasing nothing. And I kind of wonder if they dropped out of the, like Microsoft was like, oh, we're going to go with Activision. We're going to drop out of talks with Square Enix. And Square's like, well, fuck you. We're not going to release games for you anymore.
Maybe, like, although, I mean, at the same time, I mean, Microsoft probably dodged a bullet, you know, with Square Enix's decision to invest in NFTs and drop Tomb Raider and Babylon's Fall.
They probably did that stuff in reaction to Microsoft and Xbox because they realize they're not getting that sweet Xbox money. So they're selling off what they can. And they're going to go into NFTs, which are the future of money making, obviously. I think they got spurned by Xbox and they're throwing a bitch fit.
Jealous.
Yeah.
Square Enix, the jealous lover.
I wish whatever it was, they would get their stick out of their ass and give us the goddamn pixel remasters on Xbox already. Please, I just want to play Final Fantasy VI again.
They won't.
I know. Aki, what are your thoughts on all this stuff?
I don't really care. I don't care. When the they SML actually podcast, buy some everyone. Of these, when they actually buy some of these, then I'll care. Just being like, oh, here's a list of people we would love to buy. Almost everyone would love to buy almost every one of those companies listed on there. That's a whole meaning of fucking nothing to me. Being like, oh, hey, you want to buy Square? I would buy Square if I had the money. Everyone on the planet would fucking buy Square if we had the money. Like, most of the stuff.
I'm sure. Sure, people who bought Forspoken would not want to buy Square Enix.
There's plenty of other good games that they make.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, if I had to choose, like, which game developer or publisher, whichever, honestly, I'd either go with Sega or Capcom. And if I bought Capcom, I would force them to make Mega Man Legends 3.
That's the only reason you want Capcom is for Mega Man.
What? Probably.
Well, yeah. And also for them to make Street Fighter easier for me.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I know.
You realize there's like an easy mode in Street Fighter 6, right?
There's easy mode in your bed.
The fuck? I'm just telling you. Anyway, there's documents that also revealed that IO Interactive is working on Project Dragon, an RPG shooter that is being published by Xbox Game Studios.
Okay.
So that's what the Hitman devs are up to. They're up to that, which makes sense that they were being talked about in potential acquisition discussions. That's one that's been rumored for a while.
I missed that one out. Like, because the only other thing I thought they were working on was the James Bond game. Yeah.
Is that still going even?
Yeah.
Are they
still? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have multiple teams, so they're working on multiple games. Yeah, a lot of studios have more than one team working on games. Why is there a fucking motorcycle rally going by my house at 9:20 at night?
I can't hear it. So.
Oh my god, that was so loud.
I heard it for a split second.
Oh Jesus. Some sad news, Xbox related. The servers for Forza Horizon and Forza Horizon 2 are going bye-bye on August 22nd.
Shoot, that's
I'm
right.
I'm amazed they were even still up. How long ago did those games come out?
Long. But they're both still playable on Xbox One and Series.
Yeah, but at the same time, the online achievements for both of them, like,
have been a lot shit of them have for already, a long time.
A lot of them are discontinued, and some of them, like the ones that theoretically aren't, like, it's been real spotty to be able to get them for, like, the last few years, so.
Yeah. A reason a lot of them are discontinued is because they were tied to DLC, which was delisted with the games years ago, but disc owners could still fire up the game and play it.
Right.
Or if you already owned a digital, like me.
And me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to download them and get cracking.
Yeah.
But that also means that the Fast and Furious games too, although none of them have online achievements, but I think they had leaderboards or some crap like that.
I don't know. Yeah, anyway, Stray is hitting Xbox August 10th.
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
I'm super excited for that.
That should be pretty good. I'm excited that that's finally coming over. Of course, it's like after I bought a hard copy of the PS5 version.
Oh, so then you finally had something to play on your PS5.
I have the VR2, so there's a game that came with that. So I have one game to play on my PS5.
Yay, good job. That was totally worth the $600 investment.
You know what? That Astro Boy game that they have that's a free pack-in is probably one of the best games available on the PS5, and it was a free pack-in.
But wait, Astro Boy?
Yeah.
As in, like, the anime character?
No.
Oh.
No.
Or Astro Bot, I guess it is.
Now I don't give a shit.
Of course you don't give a shit. You never give a shit about good things.
Rude.
Not wrong, though.
No, I give a shit about, like, good games sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally.
One that might be coming out, there are a lot of rumors floating around that Red Dead Redemption got raided in Korea recently, suggesting a possible remaster.
Interesting. I never played the original, so.
I I didn't. I got stuck trying. I couldn't get. I was trying to rope cattle and ended up like going into a river and falling off a cliff and not being able to get the cattle to go where I needed them to. And I was just like, yeah, fuck this shit. So I got like 2 hours into the game and never played it again.
Oh, I was thinking about Red Dead Revolver. That's the one I haven't played.
Jacob, you make my head hurt.
I can't help it. I'm really terrible at, you know, riding horses, unless it's a children's game.
Oh, geez. Anyway, last bit of news I have is that the president of Nintendo stated that they plan to make a smooth transition to whatever next-gen console they're working on by using the same Nintendo account login system. A, it's about goddamn time. B, why couldn't they have done this years ago? 3, are my purchases going to carry over?
That's the important question.
H, is there backward compatibility? And 9, I don't remember.
Did you just use a mix of letters and numbers for that?
Yes.
And they weren't in order.
No, yeah,
not
I
even remotely, that. And I hate that. Oh, my head hurts now.
Like, once you said H, I was like, wait a second.
Can you focus on the fucking topic? What do you think of the...
I was actually listening to you.
You counted weird. I can't concentrate when you count weird.
Joe, shut up. I can't concentrate when you keep talking. It wouldn't be the first time you heard that one before.
Oh, Lord. Well, someone's got to talk because you two aren't.
Oh, shut up.
Well, you give me something interesting to talk about. Maybe I will.
Oh, my God.
Be like, oh, here's a 3.5-year-old fucking list of companies that every group would buy if they had the money. What do you think on that? Nothing.
Okay, Aki, what news do you have to share with the class today?
I don't have any.
Good contribution. Jacob, what news do you have to share with the class today?
Any movie watch?
I don't have anything.
God,
not even movie watch?
I don't know. Did I post anything to the Facebook page lately?
I don't know.
Well, I know you don't know because you don't use Facebook, or at least you don't tell us what your Facebook thing is.
Oh, no, I deleted my Facebook years ago.
I like that you're asking me what you posted to Facebook.
Dude, I don't know, man. I post a bunch of random ass memes and, like, occasionally a news article I find interesting. Like, damn it. Let's see. Boop, 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 boop.
Well, there's that Barbie. Oh, yeah, there's Series S.
Series S?
Now, did you see the Barbie Series S they're doing a giveaway for?
Yes, that is amazing, and I want it.
Part of a Barbie dream house.
It's really cute. I like it.
And to celebrate, they're also adding Barbie vehicles to Forza Horizon 5.
Oh, that's the news I was like, holy shit, like, I'm forgetting something, but I couldn't remember what. So, Niantic, the folks who make Pokemon Go, laid off 230 employees.
Wow.
They've canceled their NBA game and the upcoming Marvel game that they were working on. And essentially, they're pretty, like, the CEO wrote a letter to everybody saying, like, oh, well, this shakeup's happening and blah, 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 blah. We're all committed to bringing you the best experience, so on and so forth. And he pretty much makes it clear that Pokemon Go is the only thing that's keeping them alive, which, I mean, is really not surprising to anybody, but...
No, nope, not at all.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It also could be worse, somehow.
Also, during the court stuff for Microsoft, some of the documents that Sony had provided weren't fully redacted, and it was revealed that it cost $200 million or more to make The Last of Us 2 and Horizon Forbidden West, like $200 million each.
Gee, that's a lot of money.
Is
$200 million a lot of money, Aki?
Well... Yeah, but I don't know if that's a lot for a game. I don't know how much it costs to make games anymore. They
I mean,
put ridiculous
I know,
amounts into it.
I mean, depending on what game it is, because I know Grand Theft Auto 5 reportedly cost $500 million to make, but they've been milking the shit out of it for like the last like
decade.
15 years. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what engine you use. It depends on how many people you hire. It depends on the man hours. And there's no real cost to make a game, but $200 million is a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. That's
also a lot of money. Yeah. Is $1,800, which is what the Barbie Dreamhouse is currently going for on auction.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's a charity auction at charitybuzz.com where your bid will support Save the Children. They are auctioning off one of the custom Barbie Dreamhouse consoles with controllers. So
rich people, man. Don't understand them.
There's about 12 days left on it. It ends July 11th. If you go to charitybuzz.com, you could search for it and find it. The current bid is $1,800. They're estimating it's going to go for around $5,000. So next minimum bid is $2,050. So if you got the money, there you go. $2,000 on a Barbie Xbox.
Totally worth it.
20 people are watching it. I'll make that 21 because I'm going to keep an eye on it.
Joe,
hey guys, guess what I got.
I would not be shocked, honestly.
Did you see someone on Reddit posted that they work at GameStop and someone traded in that fucking Sonic Series S? The one that they gave away that had the furry controllers?
Oh my god, no way.
Not only did they trade in the system, but they ripped the fur off the controllers.
That I can understand. Those controllers had to be absolute hell to use.
They weren't meant to be used. They were meant to be collectibles.
Yeah, I know. As Ryan Niemiller weeps.
But they traded in the like one of a kind Sonic Series S. And they got $160 for it.
They traded in after bastardizing it by ripping off the fur.
And the clerk at GameStop was like, you know, this is like a one of a kind item, right? And he's like, yeah, I just want some PS5 games.
What a cunt. I wonder if they if it actually belonged to them or if they just
stole
it. Oh, God.
I bet you
tomorrow in the news, we're going to be like, a Sonic Series S was stolen and traded into GameStop. Rupier says they have a Fortnite 1S. Nah. My Series X. I wish I got the Halo Series X, but oh well. They need to do more limited colors for the Series X. I want something prettier than just a black console. Like I have a blue little plastic dust cover on the one end. Make it look pretty.
They should just make it to where you can buy a console off their website just like how you buy the fucking controller, so you can customize the colors as you want.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that there's more that goes on with building the console than the controllers.
Well, look at the PS5. They have replaceable faceplates that you could change the color on. Those are only $50 if you want a set.
Yeah, Xbox 360 also had replaceable faceplates. I mean,
those weren't $50 though.
I know, and I actually still have the Tropicana one that you gave me years ago that you got from that contest.
Yeah, I wonder if I still have my Eternal Sonata one somewhere. I had the whole series. There are like five of them.
Jeez, that would be sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, other news?
We are getting a Among Us cartoon show. It's being directed by the creator of Infinity Train, which I heard was really good, but I never got a chance to watch it.
I don't know what it is.
It was some Cartoon Network show that got removed from HBO Max. And I mean, this is how I heard about it. Like, I didn't hear about it till after it got removed. And the thing is that the DVDs went for crazy expensive prices immediately. And the show's creator was just like, yeah, thanks to like HBO killing my show from their streaming system, I now no longer have a place where I could show my kid what I made.
Ouch.
Wasn't that when they got rid of a lot of animated stuff and just didn't even really tell anyone? They just deleted a whole bunch of stuff out of nowhere and no one had any backup copies or anything?
Yeah, it was the original Purge that started it. Fucking along with assholes. So this show should be good, and I'm sure it'll be aimed at kids, kind of, but
yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
All right. You ready for reviews then? We only have a few, so.
Woo. So you can make all your reviews take 30 minutes each if you want. Go right ahead.
Please do not Purnell me.
Well, who's
Purnell?
I mean, who's? I mean, you never posted the schedule in which order we're going, so I don't.
Oh,
I don't
know. It's always shame. You
first. It's always you first.
Isn't that a shame, Jacob?
That's because I'm the prettiest.
You're gonna have to find out what the lineup is live on the show.
Okay. That so I don't listen to you anyway. How am I going to find out if I don't listen to you anyway?
You're going to have to listen to the episode and find out.
Wait, I'm going to have to listen to it after it's aired?
Yes.
But wouldn't I have already reviewed it?
I don't know. You'll find out.
Huh. Yeah. So I should. So I guess this will be a surprise for somebody in the future.
Yeah.
Huh. So if I just like bounce during the thing, it would be like, oh, what a twist.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. First game to talk about tonight is Never Awake, developed by Neotrope, published by Phoenix, released June 29th on Series X and S for $19.99. A girl who never wakes up, she's been fighting monsters in her dreams. Never Awake is a nightmarish twin-stick shooter with a unique worldview and original game rules. Jacob, what is Never Awake?
So the plot of Never Awake is, you know, as you just said, it's this girl who, you know, she's always asleep. And she's always dreaming, and if she wakes up, like, I don't exactly remember what the game said, if it even said anything. But essentially, I mean, her dreams are kind of like ours. You know, you dream about things that, like, upset you or, like, that you had to process during the day. Except her dreams are kind of like a twin-stick shooter. You are her in her dreams, and you're going to be battling against all the crap that she hates. It could be vegetables. It could be teachers shooting papers of, you know, graded tests at you. It could be the nasty dog that's down the street. It could be a whole lot of things. And so using the normal twin stick stuff, you use the left stick to control like where you're going to move around. Right stick is used to aim and shoot. And it's pretty much you just have to destroy everything, and you have to collect all these little souls that'll show up on the screen. And once you collect like 100% of them or 100, you have to collect X amount. And once you've done that, then whatever boss it is that you were fighting or the enemies that you were beating up, then you get to move on to the next thing. And it's one thing after another, because again, this poor girl never wakes up. And it has a really unique art style that I thought was pretty crazy because, I mean, usually when you're having like dreams of like, you know, vegetables that you hate, it's just like, I don't know. Actually, I don't think I've ever had a dream about vegetables that I hate. Well, anyway.
Then you haven't lived, my friend.
apparently not. But like her thing is like this like weird, like almost like a T-Rex-ish kind of animal that's like just built out of like broccoli and Brussels sprouts, and like there's forks sticking out of it. Like it's some pretty wild stuff, and it's like some kind of creepy imagery. Like, I mean, not too creepy that like I couldn't play it in front of my kids, but like it's still kind of weird nonetheless. But I really enjoyed the art style with it, and on top of it, the game really just wants you to succeed. And just like keep playing. And so you never feel like, I mean, the game always feels like the game plays fair. But you know, it's just like when you do mess up, it's on you and you just try it again and eventually you'll get it. Hopefully.
You won't.
But yeah, honestly, like if you're a fan of like twin stick shooters or shmups, like I really think that you should check this out. The art style is really what sells it, to be honest.
I'm looking at some of these screenshots. There's some messed up images, and like the boss designs in the game look ridiculous and just surrealistic and absurd. I love it.
Yeah, like what I was playing, I was enjoying a lot. I know the description said that there's like 80 plus levels and like dozens of bosses. I haven't I haven't even scratched the surface of all these bosses, but the ones I've encountered have been pretty weird, and I enjoy it a lot. So
Oh, well, the game is $20. What are your thoughts on that price point?
$20, I think it's definitely worth it. I mean, there's definitely plenty to play with. And, you know, you're going to see enough interesting and different sites that it's going to keep you entertained and curious to see what's coming next. So I think you should definitely check it out.
Cool. Sounds good. Also good is the fact that Raider Biz just subbed for the 15th month and on a 10-month streak. Raider, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for hanging out and keeping us company. Making the cup go splishy splash.
That reminds me, Joe. You know who renewed their sub yesterday?
Who?
It's me, Joe. It's me. You need to announce it.
Oh. Let's see. I was raided yesterday, 2 days ago. Victor subscribed. I see that on the event list. Lloyd Berry cheered 42 bits. I see that. I don't see your sub on here. That's weird.
What the fuck? What do you mean you don't see my sub?
On the activity feed, I don't see it here. Did you do it during the show?
No.
Oh, well then why didn't you do it during the show?
Because I usually don't have access to like a computer when I'm doing this. Like, I'm usually doing it on my phone and stuff.
Oh, well, I usually don't get alerts if you don't do it on the show. Like, I
know, but you're still supposed to announce it, Joe.
How am I supposed to know?
Because I just told you. Now announce it.
Thank you, Jacob, for your subscription to the SML podcast.
You're welcome,
Joe. Listen here, fuck snort.
Yeah.
Can we please get back to the review?
Shut up, Aki. I don't see you, subscribing.
Burn. He got you there.
This is true. I like quality.
There.
Next fucking game. Yeah.
Just got another sub. Let's see. I don't like the attention. So I don't know if I should thank him or not.
Yeah, no. Well, you already announced it.
Trash has been subbed for 7 months. How have I not known that you've been subbed for so long? You just do it when we're not watching? It always asks. Aw. Well, thank you for your sub. Thank you for hanging out with us and keeping us
company. Fucking yeah!
Shih Tzu on you. Thank you for a sub as well. Holy shit, we got a hype train incoming. Yeah, if you're going to sub, now's the time to do it. Fuck it, I'm going to do a giveaway. See.
You're welcome, Joe. See everyone. Everyone's so giveaway pleased with, you know.
Open. Giveaway's open. I'm going to give... What game should we give away?
I don't know. What do you got?
How about Dr. Fetus' Mean Meat Machine for the Xbox? We're giving away a copy of Dr. Fetus' Mean Meat Machine in chat right now. If you are hanging out, listening, type enter in chat, and you have a shot at winning Dr. Fetus' Mean Meat Machine for Xbox. If you are listening to this on MP3... Man, you should be hanging out with us on Thursday night, shouldn't you?
I guess, maybe.
The answer is yes, you should be hanging out.
Oh.
Yeah. Next game to talk about is Burnhouse Lane, developed by Harvester Games, published by Harvester Games and Feardemic, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $19.99. Burnhouse Lane tells the story of Angie Weather, a one-foot-in-the-grave agency nurse attempting to complete 5 impossible tasks order to win her life back, solve puzzles, make friends and enemies, run, hide, and fight in the stark adventure that'll take you on a trip to another world and back. Aki, what is going on in Burnhouse Lane?
Fucking yeah!
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Freight subbed with Prime. Woohoo! Now it showed up.
Yep.
And he doesn't say anything, you wiener. Aki, what's going on?
I had my mic off because when Aki is talking, I turn off my mic so she could give a complete and uninterrupted review because I am nice.
Yeah, he understands.
I don't partake in conversation. Aki, what's going on in Burnhouse Lane?
Don't be mean to him. He understands quality, okay?
No, he doesn't. He's on here. Burnhouse Lane, developed by Harvester Games, published by Harvester Games and Feardemic, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $19.99. Burnhouse Lane tells the story of Angie Weather, one foot in the grave agency nurse attempting to complete 5 impossible tasks in order to win her life back, solve puzzles, make friends and enemies, run, hide, and fight in this dark adventure that'll take you on a trip to another world and back. Take two, Aki. What's going on in Burnhouse Lane?
Okay, so in this, you play as a nurse, and you basically exist in two different worlds, more or less, at the same time. You exist in the real world, obviously, and you also exist in the world of the sick and dying. It turns out, and this isn't really, you know, a spoiler, because you find out within, like, the first couple minutes of the game, you have cancer, and you are dying, and life is miserable. And this is not a game for kids. I'm just going to point that out right now. Because the very first thing you do in this game is set up your house to hang yourself and then hang yourself. Just outright. That is the first three things you do is you move a chair, climb onto the chair, and hang yourself.
Wow.
Have fun.
That is a heavy opening to a game.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't get particularly any fucking lighter after that. You are a nurse for the elderly. You go to their homes. You're not like a nurse in a hospital. You actually go and take care of people at their own homes. And your current job is you're helping a guy who is in the early stages of dementia. He's not so far gone that you have to wipe his butt and stuff, but he's still far enough that he clearly cannot function on his own, including making his own food anymore. So, fun. So, in case that wasn't just the happiest thing in the world, you very quickly fall into this other world, and you're like, what the fuck? Where am I? I was out in the countryside. There wasn't a city for dozens of miles. How the hell did I get here by foot by traveling through this house? What's going on? And it turns out you are now in Burnhouse Lane. This place is, in my opinion, is basically fucking hell. People show up here occasionally and either pass on or more oft probably die, would be my guess, because this place is not a fun, good, happy, joy place. So throughout this, most of this game is kind of a point and click. So it's very simple gameplay. You walk around side scrolling. It's 2.5D basically. And yeah, that's really it, because I don't want to go too far into it.
I feel like this is a game that you don't want to give away much of the story.
No, there's like 7 chapters, I think, maybe 9. I don't remember which anymore, to the game. Each one takes like an hour and a half to do. And you're expected to play through this a couple times. There's like 3, 4, 5 endings, something like that. And there are some things that are do this for an achievement or do this for an achievement.
Also an achievement is subbing for us, because I see you 81 before, just subbed for 3 months. That is awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out. Casey, always good seeing you in chat. We got a level 1 hype train. That's awesome.
Nice.
We did
Congrats.
It.
Congrats. You did it. You did.
We did.
I didn't do a damn thing. I'm too lazy
you
for that.
You reviewed this game. What else do you want to say about it?
It has a very interesting art style. I don't even know how to describe it. It's so weird. Like, it's almost realistic in shapes and stuff, but the colors are very drab, very dark. It's very oppressive, and I just think it's really pretty to look at, even though it's not pretty.
Depressing as fuck.
Yes, that's the way in which it's pretty. It's not like, oh my god, that's so gorgeous. It's like, that's pretty. It's terrible, but it's pretty.
The art style is really distinct. It's
yes.
It looks like a flat world with just like paper cutouts moving around. Like,
yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Very weird.
And the main character is really pretty.
Of course you would say that. Burnhouse Lane's going for $20. What do you think of it?
I think you're definitely going to get your money's worth with this. However, if you are not cool with lots of twisted issues. Like if you're one of the people, you're like, I like when my games have trigger warnings just in case something's going to trigger me. Probably not the game for you, because chances are one of the things in here is going to trigger you. Which one, I don't know, but one of them most definitely is, and it's going to be kind of horrific and very in your face about it.
Is there any kind of content warning when you start the game?
I think the most it says is that there's gruesome stuff and things like that in it, but they don't specify anything. Like, what? One of the first people you walk into is a guy who owns a kebab place that's called Donner Kebabs, as in Donner Party.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And wow. He feeds women that he locks up in the basement. So, you know.
I'm sorry, but that's a great name. That is.
Yeah.
Mwah, love it. All right, let's move on to something happier. The next game to talk about is Reverie Sweet As Edition, developed by Rainbite, published by East Asia Soft, released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS5 for $12.99. Destiny calls the least likely of heroes. Reverie is an action-adventure game set on a fictional island in New Zealand, inspired by the legend of Maui and the giant fish, where the demigod himself fishes up the North Island with a powerful fish hook. Jacob, what is going on in Reverie Sweet As Edition?
So, in Reverie, the story actually begins hundreds, if not thousands of years ago. And there's these four brothers who are out in a boat trying to get fish for their community. And something happens, and one of them gets knocked off the boat. Because I think it's like the other three are like competing against each other and crap. So as the fourth brother is like drowning and falling to his watery grave, he curses them with his last breath, saying that he wishes that they will never be satisfied with what they have, and they'll just be like competitive against each other for all eternity, so that they'll never be happy and they can't be satisfied, any of that kind of stuff. And eventually the three brothers die, but not before their spirits end up haunting this island. And you know, they, I don't know how to describe it, but it, like, you know, they created like an evil presence on the island, whatever. Fast forward to present day, and you're playing as this kid who gets to spend the summer with his grandparents on this island, and you're like, you have a bratty brother that you usually have to deal with, but he's not there, so you get to have the whole summer to yourself, which you're like, hell yeah. And your parents are, or your grandparents are just like, yeah man, go like, go explore the island and go do stuff. So you do, and the game takes you by the hand and it's like, oh well, you have to go get something out of the basement for your grandfather. And of course, this is actually the tutorial for how combat and all that other kind of stuff works. So you grab a cricket bat and a lantern, go down there, and you have to like start beating up on rats and bees and stuff like that to recover this book for your grandpa, which has all of his crazy tales from when he was a kid on this island. And thus sets forth this like huge journey that you have to rid the island of these evil presences. And it very much plays like an old school Zelda game, which I was, you know, I was just like, all right, yeah, whatever. This looks like a simple action adventure title. And granted, it is kind of simple, but that's part of the beauty of it. It's simplicity. It's chillness. Like, if you thought that like a Zelda game was a little too hard, honestly, check this thing out. Like, I mean, yeah, the game does have difficulty throughout. Like, and like, that's why bosses exist and stuff like that.
I know a lot of people compared this game to Earthbound, but it looks like it's more Zelda action combat instead of RPG.
I was going to get to that. The art style is very Earthbound-ish. However, the gameplay is definitely Zelda. And so there's dungeons that you have to explore. There's puzzles you have to solve, enemies you have to beat, And as you go through, you can pick up more items, and these items will help you in different ways. Like, there's a snorkel that lets you go in the water. There's a Nerf dart gun that you can use for target puzzles. There's a yo-yo that can stun enemies. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that you're going to find throughout this game. And of course you have to explore the island too, because, you know, first off, of course you have to explore the island. Why the hell not? But there are there's 20 feathers spread throughout the island that you have to get, that you have to collect. And once you do, you bring them back to your grandma, and she creates this like suit that you can wear, which I'm assuming has to go with like the final boss battle. I'm not sure yet. I haven't gotten there, but honestly, like, I'm having an absolute blast. Like, as I said, like, the game, it's easier than a normal Zelda title. But it's just like, if you die, all you either do is just wake up back in bed, or you wake up, you're at the start of like whatever level you started at, like that area. And so it's just like, the game doesn't like actively make your game experience worse for losing. It wants you to keep playing. It wants you to explore. And it just wants you to have a good time. And honestly, I'm having a rollicking adventure with this thing. Like, it's been a blast. No, like, I'm dead serious. Like,
I haven't heard anyone use the term rollicking in quite a while. So that it just caught me off guard.
But it's just like, I'm having a ton of fun with this game. Like, and like, you'll see, like, one of the things I like about it is that, like, you'll see these objects that, you know, will help people on, like, they're for quests and stuff like that. Like, you'll see, like, this guy's running around like, oh, I lost my shirt on the beach. And you see it's up on the lifeguard's, like, little tower thing. But there's no easy way for you to get it. And it's just like, ah, crap, how do I get it? And, of course, it's something that you have to revisit later on in the game, you know, when you have the stuff to be able to get it. And so the game does encourage replayability. And just lots of exploration. And I love this thing. I'm serious. I'm having a shitload of fun with this game. I didn't expect to. And it's totally worth it.
Cool. Well, it is $12.99. What are your thoughts on this one?
Abso-fucking-lutely. You got to get it. Like, this is a wonderful game. It's one of my favorites of 2023. I highly recommend checking it out.
Very cool. I'm excited this one finally came to Xbox. I've had my eyes on it for a while. If you are interested in it, it is on sale for the next 2 weeks for $10.39, so you could save $2.60 on that.
Totally get it.
Yeah, save 20% and get a good game. And shout out to East Asia Soft for bringing it to Xbox.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Next up, Escape Academy, Escape from the Past, developed by Coin Crew Games, published by IM8Bit, released June 19th as DLC for Escape Academy for $9.99. Visit the Escape Academy of yesteryear and Escape from the Past. This prequel DLC puts players in control of Sandra Solange and Eel Barnes all the way back when they began their journey as students at the Academy. Aki, I'm guessing you'd like destroyed this stuff because you're really good at this game.
Yeah. I spent a few hours on this. This is pretty good. It's obviously a new DLC for the game. For those of you who don't remember, you have
to
own
Escape Academy, obviously, to play this.
Yep. And for those of you who don't remember who these characters are, Solange is the current headmaster in the main game. She's the lady who runs everything. You play as her when she was a teenager, college age student. I don't know how old she's supposed to be in this, because I don't remember if this is high school or university. But and Eel is the guy that you save in the main game, who I think was supposed to be the headmaster before her. And now you're playing as her, and technically he's there as an ally through everything. And you guys are students, and you're trying to figure out who's trying to kill your current headmaster. And the answer should be everybody, because he's a fucking douche. That's the nicest way I can put it. I fucking hate this guy. And yeah, there's only 6 levels in this, sadly. There's
the last one.
I don't remember. I think there was like 8 or 9, I believe. And in the main game, I think there was 12, I believe. So they're getting smaller, sadly. I think the
Escape Island included 5 brand new levels.
Oh, it only had 5? Okay. So it's comparable to there's basically the starting one. And the starting level of this is basically a different version of the very last level of the main game where you're competing against your rival. And then there's some levels where you're checking with each one of the professors that in the school at the time, because there's the headmaster and then apparently only 3 professors and one of them is a chef. So yeah. The very last level is the most interesting to me, and I'm not going to spoil much of anything, but in it, you get to decide who you believe is the person trying to kill the headmaster, and you get to make that choice as the player. You can choose any of the people there as that choice, and that changes the entire beginning chunk of the last level, which is really cool. Sadly, the person who actually did it is always the same no matter what, but you can, you know, accuse whoever, which is great. And, most of these, I believe, are set as a difficulty of 4, which the max difficulty in the game is a 5. And almost all of them give you like 30 plus minutes to do it, and you'll be pushing it the first time or two to get it done within that time period. They are not super easy, mostly because some of them just require you to do some really outside of the box thinking and having to find things that you weren't necessarily prepared to look for. After you get it the first time, though, most of the levels can be beaten in under 8 minutes. So I beat almost all of them in like 5.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So you don't mess around with these games.
No. Once I know it, I like to see just how fast I can beat it. And I think my fastest one was 4 minutes and 9 seconds.
Wow.
My slowest one, I think, still took me like 8 minutes and like 30 something seconds. And it was the very first one because it's just really big. Are we still
talking about the game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are. You get to interact with the professors just a little bit, because after each one of their levels, you're supposed to be able to talk to that professor just to get a little bit of backstory on them. And that's basically all there is just that little bit of backstory and then the levels, and that's it. That's really all I have to say about that.
Well, it's $10. What are your thoughts on the DLC?
I totally think it's worth it. It was very fun. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
All right. And then we have the season pass. It's available for $15. It includes both the DLCs, which are $10 on their own. What do you think? Should people pick up the season pass?
Yes.
Fine. I won't ask the whole question.
you don't even need to. Each one of them probably cost $10 and they were both worth buying. So $15. Yes. Very much. Yes.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight is called Fall of Porcupine, developed by Critical Rabbit, published by Assemble Entertainment, released June 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Fall of Porcupine is a unique story adventure, the collision of work and daily life, an exciting reflection of an unhealthy healthcare system. Experience the exciting story of Finley and his friends in a lovingly illustrated world and uncover the darkest secrets of Porcupine and its residents.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Dopey, thank you for the raid. The timing on that raid was amazing. Dopey, thank you so much for raiding us. With 30 viewers, welcome in, everybody. If you are just joining us, make sure to read the pinned message because we are giving away a copy of this game. How cool is that?
What game is it?
I was going to redo the introduction as a whole.
Okay.
Wiener.
All right, go ahead and redo it.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Go ahead.
I figure people might have ads, so I'm going to wait if they had an ad playing. Like, just
that's fair.
Fart around for like 20 seconds and people come in. But yeah, type exclamation enter and Final game to talk about tonight is Fall of Porcupine, developed by Critical Rabbit, published by Assemble Entertainment, released June 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Fall of Porcupine is a unique story adventure, the collision of work and daily life, an exciting reflection of an unhealthy healthcare system. Experience the exciting story of Finley and his friends in a lovingly illustrated world and uncover the darkest secrets of Porcupine and its residents, Jacob. What is going on in Fall of Porcupine?
Out of curiosity, is this the same dev team that made Night in the Woods?
Let me look up Critical Rabbit.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll get talking.
They made the game mid-card. So it doesn't look like they're tied to.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you play Night in the Woods, it has a very similar art style and gameplay style to that. So there you go. But anyways, in Fall of Porcupine, you play this character named Finley, who is fresh out of med school, you know, lived in a big city all their life, moved to a small town because he figured, hey, this will set me up with a nice job. But, you know, again, remember, they're fresh out of med school. And so they're still getting their bearings, not only with just life itself, but also in the job. As Finley is under the eye of whoever the doctor is. I forget what the name of the doctor at the hospital is.
Dr. Fetus? That was earlier.
No,
in the
not
show.
Dr. Fetus. No.
Dr. Wiley?
Anyway. Oh my God. No, Robotnik. It's not Robotnik or Egg. No, it's not Eggman either. Jeez.
Who?
Anyway.
Doctor who?
No.
Dr. Zhivago.
No. I hate you all. Anyway. So.
Dr. Kevorkian?
He's gonna
you know what? Okay. I wish so I wouldn't have to put up with all you asshats.
All right. Anyway, there's a doctor
who Dr. like Doom. Who's your boss, and is trying to guide you with what you're supposed to do, and you know, make sure you know all your stuff. But anyway, so a lot of the game is you navigating your social life and trying to like meet up with people outside of work, but also like get to know the town and the townspeople and, you know, reflect on your own feelings. Finley is coming off of an accident that happened at work with one of the patients, and the game doesn't exactly tell you all that happens or that happened during the event. And on top of it, everyone in the hospital seems to have their own opinion as to what actually happened. Some people are just like, oh yeah, man, this is the thing that happens. Other people think Finley was careless. Other people, you know, just think that it's, you know, just whatever. But everybody seems to have their own opinions of the accident of Finley and all that other kind of stuff. And so it's really Finley having to navigate a system that, you know, says, oh, well, medical professionals are super important, but we're not actually going to support them with anything. Like, we're not going to give you all the tools that you need. We're not going to give you the mental health support that you in fact need, because you're going to see a lot of crazy shit in a hospital and you're going to have to deal with a lot of stuff. And also, I mean, it's not only Finley, but it's also the other people in the hospital and their own lives. And it's a big exploration and meditation on pretty much just how the healthcare system is failing everybody. And it's kind of wild in that regard. However, to break up the dialogue and stuff like that, you'll have to go around to the various patients in your ward and check up on them, make sure that they're being taken care of. And sometimes you'll actually get involved in their day-to-day lives. And the game has these mini games, thankfully, as I said, break up the monotony. And a lot of these games are different. Like, some of them are just like you're taking a patient's vitals. Other ones, you're trying to prescribe them medicines so their symptoms will get better, or, you know, go away, I should say. But you're also trying to prescribe as little medicine as possible. And so it's just like, there's a bunch of different stuff that you have to do. And unfortunately, it's the mini games that actually drag you down, because a lot of them aren't particularly well explained. And when you're playing them, certain stuff isn't isn't completely correct. Like, there's one where you have to take the patient's vitals and you have to match whatever button that you're pressing, kind of almost kind of like a Guitar Hero kind of way. But the thing is that in one, like, I believe it's that one, it tells you that you need to be pushing the right trigger. It's actually the right bumper that you're supposed to be pressing. And so I'm assuming that that's a glitch. However, at the same time, when you first start playing these mini games, I was never able to get any higher than a C rating on them at first. But the thing is, I don't know if that's the doctor being mean to me, or whether it's just like the game, like these mini games are actually that hard. It's, I don't know, but like it's an interesting game with some interesting concepts. But it still feels like there's either a little bit of polish that's needed or it just needs to explain itself better. But I'm still enjoying it.
Well, it's a $20 game. What are your thoughts on it?
You may want to wait for a sale on it, like if it gets closer to like 15, but 20, I'm still kind of okay with it because of the message that it's giving. The gameplay is a little rough at times, but I still very much think it's worth your time. And if you were a fan of a similar game, as I said, Night in the Woods, then you should definitely check this one out too.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, we're done. That's it for this episode. We made it through. Yeah. Thanks to you two morons for being here, keeping this moron company.
Yay.
Music this episode. What am I going to play? Does anyone have a suggestion?
You should play some Baby Shark.
I'm not going to play Baby Shark on this show. No.
Why not?
A, because it's not a game yet. There's some news we could have brought up.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even discuss that. We are the worst brand ambassadors of all time.
We did it last week. Got most of it.
No, we didn't. We didn't discuss.
I said we got most of it.
Get so we'll just save it for next week.
Yeah, we could.
Sure. Is the doctor feel good?
So, music. What do you want to do for music this episode?
I don't know. Our accolades suggestion of Spin Doctors.
I can't play licensed music on the show. You morons.
Why not?
Because I can't.
wouldn't be the first time.
Count on more than one hand how many episodes have a licensed song in it.
I could think of two,
and one of them got blocked off YouTube, and I had to remove it.
Well, damn.
Yeah, I'm not using licensed music. I'll play something from Dr. Mario. How's that? We had Dr. Fetus, so we're going to listen to Dr. Mario.
Okay. Sure.
How's that?
Fine.
I said, how's that?
Maybe some. What about something from, like, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine?
I don't know if I have any remixes from that.
Well, maybe you should look, fuckface.
Dr. Mario is infinitely more recognizable.
My ball sack is more recognizable.
Listen here, fuck snort.
Let's get on with it.
All right, Aki. I mean, if you really want to see my ball sack that bad, I mean, jeez. Ball sack!